Proverbs 3, 1 and 2 from the New King James. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you.
Always is good to be with you tonight. We appreciate, or this morning rather, appreciate your presence very much. I wanted to commend both Steve Bills and Matt Bennett for their job that they did last Sunday evening in preaching the gospel of Christ. And they just do a fine job, both of them. And we have others that are very good speakers as well, and always appreciate when individuals fill in. But last week was wonderful. I enjoyed being able to sit there next to Janice and just take in the gospel, and did a wonderful job. We are, of course, impressed with Steve and his maturity and ability to not only proclaim the gospel of Christ, but just the good man and husband and father that he is. But it is always a joy to see young men like Matt to step forward and participate in our services, and especially when they are able to get up and to deliver a lesson. Not that that's any more important than other things, but I was just extremely impressed with his ability to proclaim the gospel of Christ. And if he chooses to do so, he will be an outstanding preacher someday in the future, if that's the road he decides to take. And we appreciate him so much. Appreciate all of our young men and the work that they do. Somebody has said that God is good all the time. And, of course, that's true. And that goodness, of course, is evident now as we usher in a new year. We're certainly thankful to the goodness and the grace of God for giving us a new year. And the question is, how are we going to live our lives this year? Are we going to strive to improve ourselves, both individually and collectively as a congregation? What is our mentality towards this year? This is, of course, the time of year that people generally make New Year's resolutions. And basically, those resolutions fall into one or three categories. People determine that they are going to look better and live longer. Or some people will determine that they're going to have more. And others determine that in this particular year, they're going to improve their various relationships in life. And we might put those three things into the category of longevity, prosperity, and peace. And there's certainly nothing wrong with those things. In fact, may I suggest to you that God wants us to do well in those areas. Of course, He is mostly concerned with our spiritual prosperity. But there's no question that God wants for all of us to be in good health and to live long, that He wants us to do well even financially and physically in the physical realm. And He wants us to have good relationships with others here on earth. And in fact, not only does God want those kind of things for us, He teaches us how to have those things through His Word. And so this morning, just for a little while, we want to talk about 10 New Year's resolutions from God's Word. And now you know it takes me 45 minutes to get through 3 points. And so I'm going to be going pretty fast here this morning. But all of these things are taken from God's Word. And while it is called New Year's resolutions, because they're from God's Word, they're not really New Year's resolutions, but they're just resolutions. There are things that we ought to make up in our mind that we want to do. And there's no better time than at the beginning of the year to determine that this is the kind of life that we're going to live, the kind of year that we're going to have before God. So we'll quickly go through these 10 resolutions. The first one is very simple. We should make up in our minds that we're going to keep the commandments of God. The reading was read for us just a moment ago by Gary, and notice, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. And so basically, the Bible is telling us that if we keep the commandments of God, we'll have those things that we just talked about. We'll have longevity, and we'll have prosperity, and we'll have peace here on earth. Now, let's understand a couple of things about the book of Proverbs. First of all, let's remember the book of Proverbs is a guide for our living. It is not a book to solve all of the intellectual difficulties that we might have. It's not a book that tries to settle the theological controversies that exist in the world today. It is simply a guide to help us in the decisions that we make, the steps that we take in our day-to-day lives. It's meant simply to guide us. It is a book that admonishes us to walk wisely as we live before God. But as we consider the fact that the book is a book of Proverbs, we understand what a proverb is, or we should understand that proverbs do not reveal things that are unwavering and predetermined. There are certain things and circumstances and even tragedy that might enter into life and that sort of thing that might change some of these, but proverbs are simply guidelines. They are simply things that have to do with principles that are generally true. And so it's important that we understand that. In other words, when you even think about this, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Does that mean that every person who keeps the commandments of God is going to have a long life? Not necessarily. It's a proverb. We understand that. But generally speaking, if we keep the commandments of God, if we live by this book we call the Bible, make application of it, if we're obedient to God, we'll have a good life, a healthy life, and we will prosper physically and spiritually before God. Generally speaking, that is true. And so it is a good resolution, isn't it? We ought to make up in our minds that that is exactly what we want to do. In the book of Proverbs, we see this kind of thing reiterated several times. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. And notice that word receive there. It comes from a Hebrew word that means to seize, to accept, or to take hold of. Isn't that a good resolution? You're going to take hold of the commandments of God this year. In 2015, you are going to seize God's commandments and make them your own. You're going to be obedient to God in every area and walk of life. You're going to obey God. We ought to do that. And let's remember, it all starts with the heart. Here in Proverbs chapter 3, listen again to exactly how he puts that. He says, but let your heart keep my commandments. And so we understand this morning that when we talk about obedience and keeping commandments, there's some outward action involved in that, but it always begins with the heart. That's why it's a resolution. We should all resolve in our minds at the beginning of this year that this is how we're going to live 2015. We're going to keep the commandments of God, whatever they may be. Whether we like them or not, we're going to keep those commandments. Let's make up in our minds that we'll do that. And not only will we have some good things happen to us physically, but far more importantly, we'll have spiritual prosperity. Revelation 22 at verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And so, as I said a moment ago, while when it comes down to these proverbs on the physical end of it, these things aren't things written in stone, so to speak. They are just principles that guide us and general truths and that sort of thing. But things happen and things can enter into our life unexpectedly. Not to us, but not to God, but to us. But things can happen. And so we understand they're just proverbs. But on the spiritual end of it, no matter what happens, it's always true. If you keep the commandments of God, things may go awry in your life sometimes from a physical standpoint, but you will indeed be blessed and you will have access to the tree of life. And after a while, you'll enter in through the gates of the city. That won't change as long as you keep the commandments of God. So it's a good resolution. It will help you in the here and now, generally speaking. It will definitely help you in eternity. So let's make up in our minds, number one, that we're going to keep the commandments of God. Number two, don't forsake love. Notice, he says in verse 3 and 4, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your necks. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Love is a critical, essential characteristic of a Christian. In fact, you can't be a Christian without love. The religion of our Lord was founded upon the love of God. We understand that, don't we? The religion of our Lord was built upon the love of God. But one thing we should understand is that the religion of our Lord is maintained not just by the love of God, but by the love of God's people. It goes forward because we're willing to love. It's essential. That's why Paul, in a familiar place in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you remember he personifies love, but first, in the first three verses, he talks about how significant it is. It's absolutely essential. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And there are some differences of interpretation with regard to that. Many scholars believe that he mentions those things because pagans would use those instruments to worship their false god. And if that's the point he's making, it should be a point well taken, that we think about these pagans and their idolatry and worshiping their false gods. What did they gain from that? Absolutely nothing. It's useless. There's no value in it at all. And Paul is saying, no matter what you do, maybe you're very articulate. Maybe you have the tongues of men and angels. You're a great orator. None of that matters at all if you don't have love. And at verse 2, he says, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. You think about that. That's power, isn't it? If you could tell this great mountain to move, and just because you said it would move, that's a spectacular kind of faith. That's a supernatural faith. And Paul said, even if you had that kind of powerful faith, it would mean nothing if you don't have love. And finally, at verse 3, he says, and if I give all that I have, if I make a whole lot of sacrifices, in other words, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, if I make the ultimate sacrifice, but have not love, I gain nothing. And all of this is meant to show us how essential it is. Again, he's about to personify love, and we don't have time to get into all of that and show us exactly how love acts, but he begins by letting us know you have to have love, and if you don't love, you're nothing, spiritually speaking. You gain nothing no matter what you do, no matter what you accomplish in life. It's all vanity if you don't have love. And so don't forsake love in 2015. And it might be asked, who are we to love? And of course, the answer is everyone. We ought to love everyone. And we're thinking about loving. Of course, it begins with loving God. As Jesus talked about those 613 commandments of the Old Testament of Judaism. And he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? You remember, he said, it is to love God with all of your heart and with all of your mind and with all of your soul. And certainly we understand that's the most important commandment. That was the Old Testament, of course, but even into the New Testament, even under the law of Christ, love is the universal command. The highest duty we have, love God. And we ought to love, of course, our spouse. Husbands, you make up in your mind, in 2015, you're going to love your wife more than ever before. You're going to demonstrate that. You're going to have a sacrificial love just like Christ had for us. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church. And you wives, make up in your mind that you're going to love your husbands. You're going to have a submissive kind of love. But in our marriages in 2015, we should have more love one for another within our marriages. We should love our brethren. The list goes on, doesn't it? Here at Brown Street, we ought to increase in the love that we have. That doesn't mean we don't love each other now. I remember Paul in writing to the Philippians. You've heard me say many times that relationship with regard to Paul and the Philippians, that was his favorite local church. That it seems clearly indicated in his writings that he was closer to those brethren at Philippi than any other local church. They had helped him in times of need. They had supported him in his evangelistic work. And he used terms of endearment with them that he did not use with anyone else. And yet when he wrote to them, he knew that they loved him. They demonstrated it by their action. And yet when he wrote to them, he admonished them to abound yet more and more in love. Because you see, love is something we can never have enough of. And we need to love each other here at Brown Street. We need to abound more and more. We need to take the time to love one another. It needs to be demonstrated by our actions towards each other. In 2015, let's become a more loving congregation. Let's love our fellow man, that our neighbor, which of course is our fellow man. And the greatest way we can do that is through being evangelistically minded and trying to rescue these people who are lost and outside of the body of Christ, sharing the gospel with them. The gospel is their only hope. If we love them, we'll do something about that. But the point of it is, we need to love. Don't forsake love. That's a good resolution, to love more in 2015. He goes on in that very passage. You notice what he connects that with. He says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. That's the third resolution. Don't forsake faithfulness. And probably Solomon, when he wrote this, that he was dealing more with the relationship between individuals here on earth. And we ought to be faithful one towards another. We ought to be trustworthy. We ought to be reliable and dependable, even with regard to our relationship with man. But of course, the higher application of that is with regard to God. We should want to be faithful to God. And that's a great resolution. In 2015, I'm going to be more faithful to my Heavenly Father than I've ever been before. And we can think of areas where we can make application of that. More faithful in our Bible study. Why not make up in your mind at the very beginning of this year that you're going to read through the Bible in 2015? Or why not determine to take a book, maybe the book of Hebrews or the book of 1 Corinthians or whatever book you like, maybe a book that you're not all that familiar with, and resolve in your mind, I'm going to become thoroughly acquainted with the book of Hebrews by the end of this year. I'm going to study it in an intense kind of way. I want to know what the book of Hebrews is all about. You spend the next year doing that. That would certainly be time well spent. But that's a good resolution. Result, you're going to be more faithful, whatever you decide to do, in studying the Bible this year than you were in the last year. Or more faithful in our prayer life. That we're going to pray more often in 2015 than we did in 2014. That we're going to pray with more power and pray with more passion. Be more consistent in our prayer life. It's one of the greatest blessings, perhaps the greatest blessing outside of salvation that we have. And we can be more faithful in the area of prayer. We need to be more faithful to the local church. Are you a fully functioning member of this local church? If you're a member at Brown Street, you should be participating. You should be involved in the work of this local church. Maybe you haven't been in the past. It's a good resolution. We need every member of this local congregation, Paul said, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And so that's what we need. If we're going to reach our full potential as a congregation, we need everybody participating. Maybe you haven't done that in the past. Make up in your mind, resolve in your heart, I'm going to become a fully functioning member of Brown Street. We think about faithfulness. Of course, we think about attendance. And we only meet four times a week. Maybe you've been sporadic in the past in your attendance. Maybe you haven't made a habit out of coming to the Bible study at 10 o'clock or maybe the Bible study on Wednesday night at 7:30. This is a good time to make up in your mind. I'm going to do better. I'm going to start attending all of the services. We know we have some people that work and can't do that. And there might be illness that takes place. But to the very best of your ability, you're going to attend every service. That's a good resolution. That helps the congregation when we come together and we meet like this. When everyone is here and present, it's edifying. We encourage, we provoke one another to love and good works. Do you want to be a part of that? Make up in your mind, so far as attendance, we have, of course, 3 gospel meetings coming up this year, and we have good speakers coming. Greg Gwynn will be here. He's an experienced preacher, fine preacher, a real nice guy. You'll love Greg. I don't know if he's been here before or not, but he's a fine preacher. He'll do us well, but we need to attend the service. Alexander Caldwell, we support him in the gospel. You should be interested in hearing him preach. You should want to come and get to know him a little bit. That's where some of your money is going, in the supporting of the preaching of the gospel to Alexander. He'll be here in a gospel meeting. Keith Malone, of course, has been here. He, if I remember right, the last time he was here, he preached a great lesson on modesty. He'll preach those kinds of sermons. We need that. Make up in your mind right now, at the beginning of this year, you're not going to be taking vacation during those weeks. You're going to be here. And you're going to come every night. If you don't have to work and if you're not sick, you're going to be here. That's a good resolution. Maybe you haven't done that in the past. It's a good time right now. Just resolve in your heart, in your mind, you're going to be faithful to God. And then 4, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. That's a great resolution. Do you want to have a good year this year? Do you want to prosper physically and spiritually? Do you want to grow in Christ and come closer to reaching your full potential, both as a person and as a Christian? This is how you do it. Trust in God. Believe in God. He'll not disappoint you. The people of God have been plagued almost from the beginning with unfaithfulness, with not believing in their heart. You remember, turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. You remember when the children of Israel just got to the border of the land of promise. And you remember, of course, that their duty was to go in and take the land that God had given them. He told them exactly what was in the land and what kind of inhabitants were there. But don't worry about that. He said, I've given you the land, those inhabitants there. You'll see their backside. That is, they'll flee from you. But they got there. And they couldn't go in. No. We'll send the spies in there and have them check it out. And they came back with a bad report. And so they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. All of that because they had an unbelieving heart. A rebellious heart. Look at this passage in Hebrews chapter 3. And beginning at verse 12, it says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. You know those things go together. They're almost synonymous. I think I preached a lesson not too long ago where this came up. I emphasized that we think of evil and we think about the most horrific, immoral people in the world. And yes, ungodliness and all unrighteousness is evil, but the Bible characterizes other things that man may not think is so bad as evil. And here clearly, an unbelieving heart in the eyes of God is evil. And so he says, you be careful about that. Don't let an unbelieving heart lead you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Confidence in Christ. Confidence in God. We need to have a believing heart. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 just for a moment. You're very familiar with this. It's, of course, we sometimes refer to it as the Hall of Fame of the Faithful. And the Hebrew writer talks about some of these great men like Abel, who offered up a more acceptable sacrifice than his brother Cain. The Hebrew writer again says it was by faith that he did that. He lived a relatively short life, but he was a man of great faith. Or he talks about Noah, who was willing to build the ark because he had that kind of faith, even though he probably had never seen rain before. You could just imagine Noah as he was building the ark and there's no water around, people probably thinking he was just out of his mind. No bodies of water around here, and here he is in the middle of a desert-like situation building a boat. But he kept on hammering. Because he was a man of faith. Or Abraham, when he was called to go to a land, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what his destiny was, really. But by faith, he went because God commanded him to go. Or Sarah, even after she was far past the time of having children. And even after she had been barren all those years, she had enough faith where God gave her the strength to conceive. And you're very familiar with all of these people in Hebrews chapter 11. Again, the hall of fame of the faithful. But notice at the end of it, at verse, or close to the end at least, at verse 32, it says, "And what more shall I say? For time will fail me to speak of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms." This is what a faithful heart can do. They conquered kingdoms. They enforced justice, obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lion and quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword and were made strong out of weakness. They became mighty in war. They put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. They, in other words, they did great things. Why? Because these individuals were people of faith. That's a good resolution. I'm going to be like those people. I want to achieve spiritual greatness like those people by believing in God, trusting in the Lord with all of my heart. That's something we all should resolve to do. Look at this. In all of your ways, he says, acknowledge the Lord and he will make straight your paths. That's a good resolution. There are two ways in which we can acknowledge the Lord. Dan basically preached this for me in his prayer. We should acknowledge the helping hand of God. That's how you acknowledge God. In 2015, you make sure you give God honor for the things that he blesses you with. Remember over in Deuteronomy chapter 8, turn over there just for a moment and notice the Israelites again of old, how they had a problem with this. I'm afraid that we too have struggled with this very thing. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and beginning at verse 11. It says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up. And you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible terrifying wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you and do you good in the end." Now watch. "Beware, lest you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth.' You shall remember the Lord your God, for he is the one who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day." Now you think about that passage of scripture. I'm sure you've read that many times before. Don't we make the same mistake that those Israelites make? Look at all that we have. Look at the houses that we live in. Look at the silver and gold that we possess. Look at all the flocks that we have. And they got to thinking, it's because of my own strength. They forgot God. And we do that today, even in the body of Christ. Look at the house that I live in. Look at the car that I drive. It's all because of what I have done. I get up early in the morning. I work until night. That's why I have all of these things. And I wouldn't discredit that altogether. Some of you work very hard, and God wants you to. Paul admonished us to work with our hands the things that are good. In another place, he said, "If a man won't work, neither shall he eat." We understand the value of work. And when you work hard, God blesses you. But let's not leave God out of the equation. Let's give God his due. Let's thank him for the things that we have. After all, he's the one who gives us the power to get the wealth that we have. You couldn't even work if you didn't have good health. You owe that to God. And so we should not forget God. We acknowledge God by praising Him, remembering His helping hand. And then the second thing, that we should consider God's will before we act. That's how you acknowledge God. We can do a better job of that in 2015. God's will always comes before mine. That's the attitude that I should have. That's the attitude that you should have. Notice that one reference in 1 Kings chapter 22. This is really a powerful example of this. 1 Kings 21 and 22, and at verse 1 it says, "For 3 years Syria and Israel continued without war." That was a good thing, of course. This was one of the rare times when both kingdoms, both of the divided kingdom, the kingdom of Judah and the kingdom of Israel, they were pretty much at peace, and they were at peace even with each other. And so it was a peaceful time. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth Gilead belongs to us? And we keep quiet and do not take it out of the hand of the king of Syria." And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me and battle at Ramoth Gilead?" Let me tell you, that's serious business. War is serious business, isn't it? In any war, lives are going to be lost. Families are going to be broken up. There's going to be suffering, pain, trials, and tribulation. That's just war. And when you're in a situation of peace, it's not a small decision to say, "Hey, let's go to war," especially over a piece of property. But that's what the king of Israel wanted to do. The response of Jehoshaphat was pretty impressive. Notice he says, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Yes, I'll go to war with you. My soldiers will fight with yours. We'll go to war." But look at verse 5. "And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'Inquire first for the word of the Lord.'" That was a good decision, wasn't it? That was good advice. "I'll go with you. This is not a light thing that we're about to embark upon, but I'll fight with you. If you think we need to go to war for that piece of land, we'll go to war. But before we do it, let's talk to God about it. Let's inquire whether or not this thing is really God's will." Don't you think we'll have a pretty good year if we resolve in our heart to do that in 2015? And all the decisions that we make, whether they're small, whether they're major or minor, that we will first inquire the will of the Lord and be willing, as Jesus did in Matthew chapter 26, to put God's will before our own. That's how you acknowledge God in everyday living. You put His will before your will. And resolution number 6, do not be wise in your own eyes. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Actually, three resolutions of that one verse. But the first one, be not wise in your own eyes. And we understand pride is the downfall of so many people. We sometimes think far more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Paul said, "For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself." And there's a lot of self-deception going on. We see it in the world. Sometimes we see it in the church. And sometimes this idea of being wise in our own eyes, we get so carried away with ourselves. Some people think that they're even more wise than God. Our society is filled with people like that. God calls something evil, they call it good. God calls something good, they call it evil. They think they know more than God. And I guarantee you this, if a person thinks he's wiser than God, I know he thinks he's wiser than me. And he thinks he's wiser than you. And so what we have in the end is someone who thinks he's just wiser than most people. He's not going to listen to anyone. And you get to the point when you cannot receive advice and counsel from other people, you're heading towards a cliff. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Notice these passages. Proverbs 11, verse 14. "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." And another proverb. Chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. In chapter 19 and verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Remember what the book of Proverbs is? A guide for living. As we go through life, as we live 2015, let's be humble enough to listen to other people. Now listen to me. I'm not saying we blindly follow anybody. You just don't take anyone's advice, no matter what and who the person is. Or even if it's a person that you're familiar with and you know, and that person gives you some advice that somehow contradicts the will of God, you always choose God over man. But this is a general principle. And as a general principle, as we live in 2015, we should humble ourselves and listen to those who are wiser than us, those who have more experience than us. We don't know everything. Nobody does. It's good advice to listen to counsel. So resolve that you're not going to be wise in your own eyes. Notice that second one in the same verse, fear the Lord. And certainly if there's one thing that's lacking in our society today, it's godly fear. That means to give God reverence and respect. And there's too many people who don't do that. The world is filled with folks like that, who have what I often call the Pharaoh mentality. Who is the Lord? Who is God that I should do what he says, that I should obey his voice? And people think like that today. And that could creep into the church. Well, again, we just want to do our own thing. We don't have the fear of God that we ought to have. Everywhere in the Bible, we're encouraged to fear God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And you'll notice on all these passages that there is a connection between that first resolution and this. Keeping the commandments of God. That always goes along with fearing God. Deuteronomy 5 at verse 29, oh, that there is such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all of my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You see, one of the keys to really fearing God, you keep the commandments of God when? Always. If you really fear God, you'll do what he says no matter what. That's giving God respect and reverence, and we need to do that. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. That is important. That third one, turn away from evil. That could be different things for different people. Maybe you have a vice in your life that other people don't know about. It doesn't have to be something that is just absolutely horrific. Now listen, there could be. There have been in times past people living double lives and that sort of thing. You ought to resolve in the very beginning of this year, as soon as possible, that you're going to put away that evil. And maybe it is just something you have wrestled with for years. Whatever it might be, it's a problem for you and you have struggled with it. And the fact that you're fighting against it, that's wonderful and that's a good sign. But it's a good resolution to make up in your mind that here in 2015, finally, once and for all, you're going to get that thing, whatever it is, out of your life. You're going to work even harder than you ever had before to get rid of that evil from your life. Certainly, as God's people, we need to do everything we can to walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. And we're all sinners and we all fall short and we all make mistakes. As you have heard me say, we all have our warts and weaknesses. Every single one of us. But don't be content or satisfied with any of that. Work on your areas of weakness. There's evil in your life. Make up in your mind at the beginning of this year that you're going to turn away from it. Honor the Lord with your wealth. We don't have to say a lot about that. We just preached a lesson on giving here not too long ago. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. But you remember the lesson. We need to sow abundantly. We need to lay by in store as God has prospered us. Make sure, if you haven't been doing that, it's a good time to start at the beginning of the year. Resolve in your mind that you're going to give to God a little bit better than you have in the past. Finally, do not despise the Lord's discipline. That reminds us of what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 13. He's actually quoting this passage. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Sometimes God disciplines us. And the key is not ignoring his discipline. And he does it in a plurality of ways. Sometimes just by and through his providence, he allows trials and tribulations to come in our life. And as we've said, I think we mentioned it on Wednesday night, that we all have trials, don't we? Like Paul was in that storm, that we all have storms in life. And there's various trials that come from God. Again, not all trials come from God. Some come from the devil. Let's not forget that. Some come just by chance. But sometimes God will discipline us by allowing trials into our life. And they might be trials of perfection that help us, that edify us, help us to grow if we have the right attitude, if we don't quit when they come. Or they might be trials of correction in which God is trying to straighten us up. But again, the key is don't ignore them. Be reminded, maybe I'm not living the way I ought to live. You have to come to that conclusion. You don't know, because there's all kind of trials and tribulations that come. You have to check out, look at your own life. I have sat across the table of a lot of people over the years whose life was a mess, and it was clear that they're not putting God first. And I've told them on many occasions, try God. Try putting God first in your life. See how that works. Maybe God is, you have some of these trials because God providentially is disciplining you. He's trying to wake you up. Maybe you have a trial like that in your life right now. Don't ignore it. Look at your life and how you're living. Are you faithful? Are you keeping the commandments of God? Are you trusting the Lord with all of your heart? Are you doing these kind of things? Maybe God is sending you a message. Let's not despise the Lord's discipline. And so, making resolutions, there's really nothing wrong with doing that at the beginning of the year. Many people do that. Sadly, most of the times when people make a resolution, they start off on fire, and by the third or fourth month of the year, they've forgotten about it. These are good resolutions. Right from God's Word. From a book that helps us, that is a guide for our living. Do you want to have a good year in 2015? Both physically and, more importantly, spiritually, consider these 10 New Year's resolutions and let's make application of them from God's Word. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel. That should be your first resolution, that you're going to become a Christian right now, this morning. You're going to obey the gospel of Christ and become a child of God. No matter what happens in your life, even if things do go well physically, and we see in the world today sometimes many people who are outside of the body of Christ, even those who are atheistic in their thinking, sometimes things go well for them. But it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. If everything goes well for you in your life and you have very few problems, your bank account is full, you have a lot of friends, your job is going well, the truth is, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're living a failed life. But you can turn that around and live a successful life. You can get out of this life what God meant for you to get out of it. A relationship with Him right now and eternity in heaven after a while. But you have to obey the gospel. Make up in your mind to do that. If you believe in Jesus, do it right now. Repent of your sins. Acts chapter 3 at verse 19. Confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth. Romans 10 verse 9 and 10. And then be buried in the waters of baptism so that your sins can be washed away by the blood of Christ and you can start anew. And you can do it now. I hope you will. Come forward as we together stand and sing.